Morning, everyone. Welcome to the final daf of the Masechta. We're in Sukkah, we're in Daf Nun Vav, and we're in the Mishnah on Enhamud Beis, the top of the Amud. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned. The Zecher Nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman, and we begin. The Mishmaros is basically a system of order. In order for the Kohanim to function, so there's a lot of Kohanim, they're doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, so they needed a system. The system is basically the following. David HaMelech, together with his son, who operated the first Beis HaMikdash, so what they did is they divided the Mishmaros. So the Mishmaros were originally divided into eight families, then eventually 16 families, and then ultimately 24 families. 24 families, meaning that the patriarch. I don't make enough copies for everybody. I'll make more later. So the 24 mishmaros, are the families that are serving in the Beis HaMikdash operate on a system of they work 1 week at a time. So each mishmar will be working 1 week, and then the subsequent mishmar, and then the subsequent mishmar, and you do that for 24 weeks, and then you do that again. Chalila, you go over that again. And so in the course of a year, you're basically operating, each Mishmar is going to be operating about 2 weeks out of the year. It's going to be a little bit more frequently than that. There are 48 weeks. There are approximately 50 weeks in the Jewish year. So 50 and a half. We just talked about that yesterday. Anyway, good. The page I gave you just gives you a name of all the Mishmaros, all 24 Mishmaros, meaning the first Mishmar is Yahu Yariv. Yahu Yariv is the name of the Mishmar named after the patriarch, the grand patriarch of the Mishmar, who was at the time when the families were divided. So that's the first Mishmar. Our first Mishmar is Yahu Yariv. And then Yedaya, and then Charim, and you could see on. In other words, you know, you're not going to be responsible to know all the Mishmaros by the end of today. That I don't know all the Mishmaros. The one that you want to focus, however, on is number 15. You'll see why number 15 will become significant by the end of today. Okay, when it comes to Sukkah, before I get to Sukkot. Okay, that's generally speaking during the year. And then when you get to Yontav, what happens? So an assembly of all the Mishmaros come to the Beis HaMikdash and serve all together in the Beis HaMikdash on Yontav. Okay, it's obviously high volume, high traffic, and it's certainly a time where it could be a little bit chaotic. But nevertheless, so on Yontav, here comes everybody. All the Kohanim are going to be coming into the Beis HaMikdash and serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, there still has to be some sort of system in order, meaning you can't just simply expect all the Kohanim to come into the Beis HaMikdash on Yontav and then simply say, okay, here we are now, let's do the Avodah and let's divide the Karbanos. There are a limited number of Karbanos. So what we're going to be learning together in this Mishnah, it's a short Mishnah, it's a short Gemara, but it's what we're going to be learning together is basically the system that was put in order specific to Sukkot, meaning on Sukkot, we're going to have a specific set of rules in terms of how we're going to distribute all the Karbanos to all the Mishmaros. Now, on Sukkot, there's a variable. In other words, Sukkot is not just a fixed set of Karbanos, but rather it's variable, because as we know on Sukkot, the Torah tells us, open up Parshas Pinchas, and you'll see all this inside, that every day of Sukkot, the number of Karbanos change. Now, not all the Karbanos, you'll see on the top line of the chart that I gave you, in terms of the rams, so it's always going to be two a day. In terms of the seirim, the goats, it's going to be one a day. And in terms of the kvasim, in terms of the sheep, it's going to be 14 a day. So those numbers are fixed. But what does fluctuate, however, is the parim. Those are the bulls. The bulls fluctuate, where on day one it's 13, on day two it's 12, day 11 on day three it's 11, etc., etc. So in other words, every day the number of bulls get reduced by one. If you want to do a little bit of math, okay, this is just simply a sequence. If you want to do a little bit of math and you want to know what is the addition of 7 through 13, so the answer is going to be 70. If you'd like just to think about it mathematically, you could think, add the extremities. Add 7 and 13, that's 20. Add 8 and 12, that's another 20. In other words, and you'll add the extremities, and then obviously the center number is going to be 10, and you'll get to 70. All right, so there are 70 bulls that are brought over the course of Sukkot. In the meantime, however, we're going back to the Mishnah. We're reading the Mishnah inside. Yom Tov Harishon Shel Chag Hayusham Yigim Parim. So on the first day of Yontif, so the Mishnah just gives us the order. There are 13 bulls, Elim Shnaim, 2 rams, Sir Echad, 1 goat, Vinishtai Rishel, Yud Dalek Vasim, Lishmona Mishmaros, and that now leaves 14 sheep for the 8 Mishmaros. Okay, now if you'd like to see this on the page, you could see that basically what the system is that every one of the Mishmaros, starting from Yal Yariv number 1 and moving down to the next 13, so that each one of them is going to be giving one par. Then what's happening is that the 14th Mishmar is going to be giving the ram, and the 15th Mishmar is going to be giving the ram, and then the 16th Mishmar is going to be giving the goat. Okay? And then 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 are going to be, 23 and 24 are going to be given the sheep to give. Now, obviously, what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to create a system in which we're going to create equity. Creating equity is always difficult. It's always going to be a challenge to make sure everyone gets an even amount. It's not going to be totally equitable, but it's a system in which there's going to be an attempt at least to make it as equitable as possible. So there are 14 sheep that are offered by the 8 mishmaros. But yom rishon shisha makrivim shnayim shnayim. So on day 1, 6 are going to be offering 2. So again, if you look at the chart that I handed out, so you'll see that mishmaros 17 through 22, that's 6 mishmaros, each one of them are going to be offering 2 sheep. Va'ashar echad echad. And the remaining, meaning the remaining 2 mishmaros, 23 and 24, are going to be offering 2 sheep. Okay, Adkan, that takes us through day 1. Bisheni, now you move to day 2. So on day 2, so Chamisha Bakriv Mishnaim Shnayim. So 5 are going to be offering 2 sheep. And Vashar Echad Echad, and 1 is going to be offering 1 sheep. And then again, if you look now on day 2, you'll see that Yahal Yariv will offer the par on day 2. And then the next is the 2 aisle, the seir. And then you're going to have 5 mishmaros, each one offering 2 kvasim. And then the next series is going to be, the next series of mishmaros, each one of them is going to be offering 1 sheep. And then we move down to the bulls, and the bulls are going to complete day number 2. If you look at the chart, you see basically what's trying to be accomplished? Equity. The parim, the bulls are the choicest carbon, the largest carbon. So basically, this distribution is trying to make it so that each mishmar is going to get an equitable number of bulls. Now again, 24 mishmaros, and there are going to be a total of 70 bulls, so you realize the math is not going to work, and it's not going to be equitable. But it's an attempt to make it as equitable as possible. If you look at the chart that I handed out to you, you'll see that between days 1 and day 2, each mishmar is going to be offering the bull at least once, right, between day 1 and day 2. Now, Yahal Yariv, yes, that's accurate. Yahal Yariv is going to be offering the bull 2 days in a row. Okay, but again, we're striving for equity. We're not going to get total equity. Bishlosha, now we're on day number 3. So, Dalma Kriv Mishnayim Mishnayim Vashar Echad Echad. So, on day number 3, the system is going to be where 2 are going to be offering, 4, apologize. 4 are going to be offering 2. And Shar Echad Echad, and 1 is going to be offering 1. So again, what basically we're going to do is we're going to have 4 of the Mishmaros consolidating, each one of them going to be offering 2 sheep, and then the rest are going to be offering 1 sheep. And again, in doing so now, once again, we're spreading out the bulls from Mishmar's numbers 2 through number 12. B'Revi, on day number 4, now move one more column ahead, so Shoshim Akriv Mishnayim Shnayim, so 3 are going to be offering 2, Vishar Echad. Now if you look at day number 4, now you get to see. What's going to happen now is that the Parim are going to go from Mishmar's numbers 13 through number 22. So okay, good. So that by the end of day number 4, nearly every Mishmar has offered the Par twice. Now Bechamishi, now you're going to move to day 5 of Sukkos. So Shnayim Akriv Mishnayim Shnayim Vashar Echad Echad. So now again, just simply so that there could hopefully be as much equity as possible. So 2 groups are going to be offering 2 sheep, and the rest are going to be offering 1. And so once again, now you look at day number 5, and you'll see, once again, Yahal Yariv has just offered the bull 3 times on day number 5. Okay, and so has the first, how are we going to say this? So the first seven Mishmaros, each one of them has been offering 3 times. And then you drop down to the bottom, Mishmar numbers 23 and number 24. So they just completed and concluded offering a par their second time. Okay? And then Bishishi, and then move to day number 6, Ekamachar Rivshtayim, Vashar Echad Echad, and Bishvi Kulan Shavin, and on the seventh day, they're all going to be the same, meaning a keves per mishmar. And in doing so, we're now going to, if you look at mishmars number 16 through 22 on day number 7, so we'll see 16 through 22 now, they're going to have the opportunity to offer the par a third time. Okay, kulan shaman. Now, before I go on to the Mishnah, so you have the chart in front of you, the handy chart in front of you, so you'll see, so it almost came out perfectly, almost. In other words, basically what has happened over the course of Sukkot is because of the system that was set in play, where on day 1, 6 groups take 2 sheep, on day 2, 5, on day 2, 4, on day 3, 3, sorry, on day 4, 3, day 5, 2, day 1, 1. So now essentially what has happened is that each group, each Mishmar, was able to offer the par on 3 occasions. Now, obviously, that won't be true for all 24 Mishmaras. 24 times 3 does not equal 70. There are going to be 2 Mishmaras, 2 groups, who are only going to be offering the par twice, and not a third time. And, you know, that's what you get for being last in line. All right? No fault is assigned. That's just simply the way it works. Delayahu and Maziyahu, the last 2 Mishmaros, are only going to be offering the par twice and not 3 times. Okay? But at least what has happened over the course of the system is that each Mishmar was able to give 3 times. Continuing in the Mishnah, Vishmini Chazula Pais Kebiragalam. Now, what about day 8? Day 8, what happens? New lottery. Meaning that whatever system was in place is now in place, and now you get to day number 8, and it's a new lottery. Now, on day number 8, we already made this point, but let's make it again. The Karbanos that are brought on day number 8 have nothing to do with the Karbanos that are brought the previous 7 days. Meaning in terms of bulls, 1 bull. In terms of sheep, I believe it's 1 sheep. In terms of Seirim, it's 1 sheep and 1 goat. And Kvasim, hopefully I'm not mistaken, I believe it's 7. So this shouldn't be a belief system. This should be just simply open up Chumash and see inside. But I think it's 7 sheep that's offered on Shemini Atzeres. Amru Mishi Ikri Par Mayom Lo Yakriv Lamachai Alechozim Chalila. Okay? Whoever offered a par today will not be offering one tomorrow, but rather there's a cycle that we just been discussing for the last 10 minutes. Neima Masis and Rebbe Hivalo Rabbanan. Now the Gemara's point starts off as follows: our Mishnah is following who? It's following Rebbe. It's not following the Chachamim. So you know how this works. In other words, we haven't even been introduced yet to this machlokus, but the Gemara kind of assuming that we know this machlokus, but we'll learn in just a moment. Our Mishnah seems to be willing like Rebbe, not like the Chachamim d'Tanya. So, first things first, an introduction. Let's see what the Brice is talking about. Rebbe says, in terms of that one bull that's offered on Shemini Atzeres, so it's a lottery. And the lottery is between whom? All 24 Mishmaros. Meaning each one of the 24 Mishmaros will have the same chance, the same statistical chance of getting that to bring the par on day number 8, Shemini Atzeres. And the Chachamim say disagree. Who gets to do the lottery to offer the bull on Shemini Atzeres? Only Mishmars numbers 23 and 24. Because think about it, the Chachamim are making a very sensible point. Meaning Mishmars 23 and 24, they only offered par over the course of Sukkot 2 times, as opposed to all the other Mishmaros of the Kohanim, where they offer the par 3 times. So now, Shemini Atzeres, here we have an opportunity where one Mishmar could bring another par, so we'll have a lottery between 23 and 24. Each one of them will have a 50% chance of actually getting to offer a bull on day number 8. Okay, so by the end of Sukkot, at least you'll have now 23 of the 24 families offering 3 parim over the course of Sukkot. So that's the opinion of the Chachamim. Okay? There's a certain amount of logic to it. Our Mishnah doesn't seem to be going like the Chachamim. Why? Because our Mishnah says that what happens on day 8, the pious is all over again. In other words, a total reset button on the pious. So the Gemara says, no, afilu tamar rabbanan. The Gemara says, what you could argue is that our Mishnah is going like the Chachamim. Atu shtei mishmaros lo afusi bai. So the Gemara says, look, it's true that our Mishnah says that there's a lottery done on day 8, but with whom? Which Mishmars are doing the lottery? You could argue, explains the Gemara, that the lottery is done simply between Mishmars numbers 23 and 24, the Layahu and Maziyahu. So as a result of that, as a consequence of that, that's what our Mishnah is talking about, that's the lottery, and it may be that our Mishnah is going like the Chachamim. Kamanaz lahad detayin kol Mishmar shanos u'mishalshos chutz mishnei Mishmaros sheshonos me'in mishalshos. Here the Brisa is just articulating what we've been saying throughout the course of this morning so far, that of the 24 Mishmaros, 22 of them are going to be offering 3 parim over the course of Sukkos, and 2 of them are only going to be offering 2 parim. So name a Rebbe below Rabbanan. So the Gemara says once again, this Brisa seems to be going like Rebbe, not like the Chachamim. Why? Because according to the Chachamim, the number's not 22 of 24, the number's going to be rather 23 of 24. So afilu tamer rabbanan milo shoshu bepariachag. So the Gemara says again, the Brisa could be going to Chachamim. It's not a big deal. The Brisa is just simply referring to the bulls of Sukkos, meaning the Brisa is just not discussing at all the bulls of Shmini Atzeres. My kamashma na kamashma mishikriv par mayom lo yakriv lamachar elachosim chalila. So the point of the Brisa is that every mishmar gets its own particular day. Meaning, if you didn't offer today, if you offer today, you're not going to be offering tomorrow. And again, you'll note that, of course, there's one exception to that rule, and that was going from day one to day two. If you look at your handy chart, you'll see on day one, Yo Yariv offered a par. On day two, Yo Yariv offered a par. That's the only exception, the only notable exception where you offer on day one and you offer on day two. But other than that, the rule is that if you offered a par in one day, you did not offer a par in the next day. Okay. I'm a Rebbe Lazar. How did Shivan Parim Kenegin me? A little bit of Agadah sprinkled into today's Gemara. Okay, so far all we've done, we've done is just basically explain the system. Okay, but now let's take a step back. Let's take a look. There's a total of 70 Parim that are offered on Sukkot. Obviously, there's significance to the total number of 70. Kenegin me, Kenegin Shivam Umos. They are corresponding to the 70 nations of the world. In other words, the way that Chazal always view the world is comprised of 70 families, Shiva Mamim. The 70 families that comprise the world, the 70 nations, I should say, rather, that comprise the world. So the parim that we, the Jewish people, offer on Sukkos is corresponded to them. It basically creates some sort of zechus for the 70 nations of the world. Par yechidi lema keneged, uma yechida. And then you get to Shmini Atzeres, and then there's a carbon offered on Shmini Atzeres, and that corresponds to the Jewish people, the singular nation. Mashal melech basav adam sham alav adav. And the Gemara says, I can give this to you by way of mashal. Let's use an analogy. Sham alav adav asuli su'uda gedola. So make for me a great meal. L'yom achron amar lo avav. Now after a great meal, so he says to his beloved ones, asuli su'uda ketana. Make for me a small meal, kadesh she'eneh mimcha. So we can spend some quality time together. So that's basically Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres. Sukkos is for the nations of the world, meaning the karbanos that we offer correspond to the nations of the world, provide schus for the nations of the world. That's a quote unquote big party. And then Shmini Atzeres, that's the private party between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lahavdil, although I think there's some substance to what I'm saying. But basically, Achashverosh did exactly the same format, the same formula, where first he created this big party for all the nations of the world, and then he created a small party for just a private party for just himself and his close ones. Amrav Yochanan Oilam Lovdi Kocham Shavdu Ve'en Yodim Ma Shavdu. So the Gemara then makes one final comment on this, and that is the nations of the world, they don't even know what they're missing. Meaning, we've now been 2 millennia without a Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara's comment is that they don't even realize, nations of the world don't even realize, that we were offering karbanos, not just for us, but we were offering for them as well. Bezman she Beis HaMikdash kayim mizbech mechaper aleihem. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, there was kapara, but then ve'achshav, mi mechaper aleihem. But now, there's no kapara. In other words, there's no Beis HaMikdash, and there is no kapara on behalf of the nations of the world. And so the Gemara just simply notes that sometimes you lose something, you don't even know what you lost.
Those spending 7 days now for the benefit of the rest of the world.
What?
The first 7 days of the Sukkot, we're replacing the sacrifices with our...
To the best of our ability, we're replacing, but I mean...
For the rest of the world.
Yeah, but there's no karbanos. Okay, we start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah is on the bottom of Nun Hamad Beis. B'shlosha perakim b'shanayu kol mishmar shavim. Be'imure haregalim. Okay, now we talk distribution. We talk allocation. Okay, distribution, allocation, it's political talk, but it's not. We're talking about the division of the karbanos. So when it comes to Yontov, so every Kohen is entitled to some sort of distribution. Meaning, again, the way the system is placed during the rest of the year, One mishmar comes during the week, and obviously that mishmar is entitled to all the distribution, meaning whatever karbanos are offered, so the kohen is entitled to whatever benefits are reaped from that karban. Just so that we're all grounded in this, when it comes to a karbanola, so the kohen who offers the karbanola, what does he get? The karban in general is burnt on the top of the mizbeach, but he gets the hides. The kohen who offers the karban is entitled to the hides. What's vechatas? So the kohen gets to eat the karban, parts of the karban. What if it's a shlamim? So the kohen who offers the karban is entitled to pieces, to some of the sections of the animal. The chazeh v'shok, the chest of the animal and the right leg of the animal. So in other words, when it comes to karbanos, so the kohanim are entitled to a distribution. So again, during the year, so the kohen, the family kohen that's working in that year is entitled to all the distributions. When it comes to yantiv, right, so again, all the kohanim are coming to the Beis HaMikdash on yantiv, and this is true for every one of the shlosha regalim, and they're all entitled to the imure regalim. That's a strange way for the Mishnah to say it. Usually imurim is referencing the things that are going on the mizbeach. Obviously the kohanim are not eating which is that on the mizbeach. The Gemara is going to question the language of the Mishnah. Uvechiluk lechem aponim. And also, this is interesting, they get the lechem aponim as well. Lechem aponim is the bread that's offered every week in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not offered. It's baked, placed on the table, left on the table over the course of the week, and then on Shabbos, the bread is taken off and the new bread is replaced. That bread is taken off, it's 12 loaves, and those 12 loaves are distributed. You could have made the argument they're distributed to which kohanim? The kohanim that are working in the Beis HaMikdash that week. The Mishnah is telling us that on a yontif, if that Shabbos coordinates with yontif, so then the bread is divided amongst all the kohanim. Now, granted that all the kohanim are getting a very small portion of the bread, of the lechem aponim, but that's the way the distribution is going to work regarding the lechem aponim. Why do I say that's so unusual? Because the lechem aponim is not specific to yontif. The lechem aponim is based on is daily operation in the Beis HaMikdash, and yet on yontif all the kohanim get to divide the lechem aponim. The Gemara will discuss that as well. Ba'atzeres Omer Lo. Now, let's say that it is Shavuos and Shabbos, which coincide. So now there are going to be two distributions of mincha, of menachos. One distribution is going to be the lechem aponim, and the other one is going to be the two loaves of bread that are offered on Shavuos. The two loaves of bread that are offered on Shavuos, what's unique about them? First of all, they are shlamim. They're connected with the shamei, the shlamim that are offered on Shavuos, the kifsei atzeres. And number two is that they're chametz, meaning it's unusual. Usually menachos come in the form of matzah, but on Shavuos, the two loaves of bread are chametz. So halach matzah, behalach chametz. So here's how the distribution would go. You'll get a little piece of matzah, meaning the lechem aponim, and you're also going to get a little piece of chametz, meaning a little piece of the shtei halechem. Mishmar shezmanu kavua umakrif tamidin darim nedavos. Now, what if it happens to be your week, right? Say fortunate, I'll say unfortunate, I don't know. Let's not say either. But in other words, the week that Yontov comes in happens to be the week that you're the Mishmar. So what do you get, meaning that it's your Mishmar week during Yontov, specific to the Mishmar? So you're going to get the Karban Tamid and the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Meaning anything that's not connected to Yontov, anything that's just due to daily avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, so that's what you're entitled to. And a Durham and a Davos and Shark Karban Sibar and other communal offerings. But if it's a carbon specific to Yontiv, so that gets distributed amongst all the Kohanim. Well, Makrif is a call, and you get to offer everything. The Gemara is going to explain what those last three words in the Mishnah is coming to teach us. So let's start with the Gemara. Imure regalim shel gavoh ninu. So the Gemara says, what is the Mishnah talking about when the Mishnah says that they get to divide the imurim of Yontiv? Imurim, that's usually a term for that which is going to go up onto the Mizbech. Am Rav Chista Mashamar Beragalem. No. Imuri over here is not to be understood literally in its general sense, but Imurim just simply means Masha Amur, meaning all those karbanos that are said over by Yontiv, meaning Parshas Pinchas, those are the karbanos that are distributed by all the Kohanim. Tana Rabbanan, four lines on the bottom of Nun Hamad Beis. Minayin shekolam mishmar shavos b'imur regalam tamalam ravah b'chol avas avshov v'shareis. Anyone who comes will serve. Yachlaf b'shar yimos hashana. Now, I might think that's true year-round. That's not true year-round. Okay, I'm sorry. Af b'shar yimos hashana kain. Tamalom ra me'echad sha'arecha. Lo amarti ela b'shar shekoy yisrael nechnas b'shar echad. No. Only when there's convergence on the Beis HaMikdash, when everyone's entering through the same gate, in other words, Yontif, Regel, when everyone is converging on the Beis HaMikdash, then and only then is there going to be every single Kohen have an entitlement to some distribution from the Beis HaMikdash. Uvechiluk lechem aponim. Tanu Rabbanim minayin shekol mishmar shavos bechiluk lechem aponim. Now, lechem aponim, this is the oddity. The lechem aponim is not specific to Yontif. It's part of the daily slash weekly service in the Beis HaMikdash, and yet, on Yontif, there will be a full distribution of the Lechem Aponim to all the Kohanim. That's strange, that's unusual, and the Gemara cites a pasuk that explains why this should be. Tamar Lomar, we're on the top of Nun Vav Amud Aleph, Chelek Kechelek Yochelu. Pasuk over here, Parsha Shoftim, so the pasuk says, Chelek Kechelek Yochelu, going to divide portion for portion. What does that mean? Kechelek avoda, kachelek achila. Just like they get a portion in the service, so too they get a portion in the consumption. What does that mean? My achila, ilei makarbonos me'asam nafka. Now, if it's a reference to karbon, the Gemara says, we have a pasuk. The pasuk says, l'koin ha'makriva so lo siyeh. What do you mean? The koin that offers the karbon, he gets to eat that karbon. So it's not referring to karbon. El lechem aponim. So it's a reference to lechem aponim. Lechem aponim has no service. There's no avoda by the lechem aponim. Now that's almost accurate. I mean, the Gemara says it, so it's got to be accurate. But it's almost accurate, meaning there are two spoons of lavona that are sitting on top of the lechem aponim, that and that is burnt on the top of the mizbech. But okay, but the basic point of the Gemara is that there's no. There's no kmitza, there's no zrikas hadam. In other words, it does not behave like a regular carbon. Now, it's certainly not an animal carbon, it's not an animal, but not even like a mincha carbon. So it doesn't behave like a regular carbon, so therefore the lechem aponim is what the Torah here is referring to, and that the lechem aponim will get equitably distributed amongst all the Kohanim on Yontif. I might have thought, well, if the lechem aponim is getting distributed amongst all the Kohanim, what about other quote-unquote regular karbanos that happen to be offered over the course of Yontif? For a simple example, Tamash al Shachar. Is that going to get distributed amongst all the Kohanim? So Tamar Lomar Levad Mimim Karav Al Ha'avos. Mamachru Ha'ova Zelazeh Ani B'Shabbativa Ata B'Shabbatcha. The Gemara says, the Torah says, except for that which was sold. What does that mean, that which was sold? Meaning, the original transaction is that the Kohanim all got together and said, here we're going to go. I'll take this Shabbos, you take that Shabbos, you take that Shabbos, you'll take that Shabbos. Meaning, the original allocation of every set of Mishmar is going to get a particular week, they're going to be entitled to the quote-unquote daily offerings that are offered in the Beis HaMikdash. So basically the rule is like this. On Yontif, anything specific to Yontif gets divided by all the Kohanim. On Yontif, anything specific to daily offering, like the Tamish al Shachar, or basically anything that's not Yontif related, gets divided by that particular Mishmar. The oddity is the Lechem Aponim. The Lechem Aponim, which is the weekly offering in the Beis HaMikdash, and not specific to Yontif, that's going to get divided by all the Kohanim. Why is the Lechem Aponim unusual? Why is it strange? So the Gemara basically says, well, first of all, it's a Pasuk, but because the Lechem Aponim does not behave like a regular carbon, there's no Kemitza, it doesn't behave like a regular carbon, and therefore it gets distributed amongst all the Kohanim. Well, the Lechem Aponim is only going to be divided on Shabbos.
To everybody anyway, right?
Well, on Yontif to everybody, but if it weren't Yontif, to just the Mishmar.
Who's on that day?
Well, wait, your question is going to be even further resolved in just a little bit today. Ba'atzeres Omer lo Helech, Itmar. Okay, the Gemara now is going to look at our Mishnah and turn its attention to a halachic discussion. I say halachic, I mean halacha that pertains to you and me. Now it's funny, the Gemara will have a discussion, the discussion will take us almost through the rest of this Amud, and we all know the conclusion, but the Gemara is going to discuss it. Itmar Rav Amar Sukkah V'Achar Kach Zman, Rav Barachana Amar Zman V'Achar Kach Sukkah. You go into your Sukkah on the first night, you're going to make Kiddush, it's Yontif. And then you have two brachas that you're going to need to make after Kiddush. Number one, you make a Leishei B'Sukkah. Number two, you're going to make a Shachianu. What should be the correct order? Should you first make the bracha on Sukkah, followed by Shachianu, or just the opposite? The Gemara quotes a machlokas amongst the Amorayim. Rav says you first make the bracha of Leishei B'Sukkah, and then afterwards you make a Shachianu. Rabbi Rav Chana says just the opposite. First Shachianu, and then Sukkah. So again, we all know what the conclusion is going to be. We've done Sukkot once or twice in our lifetime. So, but nevertheless, the Gemara is going to discuss. Rav Amar Sukkah v'achakach zman chiyuv adiyom ha'adif. Rav says, look, Sukkah is relevant to the day. Shechianu is a more generic bracha. So I'd much rather make a bracha more specific to today, which is Sukkah, and then afterwards we'll make a Shechianu. Rabbi Bar Avchana supports his position with a very strong argument. What do you mean? Sheikh Yana said more often. We have a rule. That which is said more often comes first. That which is said less often comes second. Okay, Tadir. The Gemara now will try to align this machlokus to a machlokus tanayim. We're now turning our attention to the eighth parak of brachos. Tan Rabbanan. On a regular Kiddush on Friday night, what do you say first? Kiddush wine, wine Kiddush. What's the correct order? So Beisila is of the opinion that first you make a bracha on wine, followed then by the Birchas Hayom, followed by Kiddush. Now, by the way, just so that we're all not totally confused, the paragraph of Vayechulu that we say, that's a preamble. That's like an introduction. That's not Kiddush. It's right. I'm still struggling to know where that came from. The Gemara doesn't mention it, but whatever. We have a minhag, all of us. It's been around for a long time. That prior to Kiddush, we say Vayechulu. So we have a paragraph Vayechulu. Good. Now, after Vayechulu, what happens? So again, so we know we fall like Beis Hillel. We make a bracha on Yayin, right? Bori Pri Agafen, and then afterwards, what do? We make a bracha on Kiddush. Good. Why? Why specifically in that order? In other words, Beis Shammai's position is that the Gorein, what's the causative? Meaning, right now on Friday night, what's screaming at me? Shabbos. So in other words, so first thing you do is you make Kiddush. And then I'll make a bracha on Geffen. But in other words, the causative, of course, is Shabbos. So therefore, Kiddush comes first. Ukvar Kiddush Hayom. V'adayin Yayin Lo Ba. And then another argument, meaning what happened first, the Shabbos or the wine? The Shabbos happened first. Now, yeah, I could put out the wine before Shabbos begins, but in other words, generally speaking, what happens? First Shabbos comes, then I bring out the wine. So in other words, just in the sequence of events, first Shabbos / Kiddush, then wine. And Beis Hillel says, no, just the opposite. First wine, then Kiddush. Why? Shayayin garim lekidusha sheteyamer. Because without wine, you're not making Kiddush. So basically, this is Beis Hillel's counter-argument to Beis Shammai. What do you mean the day's a causative? The wine's a causative. Without wine, I wouldn't be making Kiddush. Davar acher bechaseyan tadira bechaseyam ena tadira. Tadir v'sheno tadir tadir kodem. And furthermore, the rules of tadir. I make a bracha on wine more often than I make a bracha on Kiddush. So therefore, we have a glass every day. So therefore the wine is more tadir, tadir v'sheno tadir. So of course the wine comes before the Kiddush. So now what the Gemara would like to suggest is the machlokas amarayim is really built into the machlokas tanayim. Lema rav damar kebeis shamay v'rabba bar chana damar kebeis hillel. Amalecha rav ana damar afilo beis hillel. So Rav will say, don't do that. Don't pigeon me whole into the position of beis shamay. I can hold like beis hillel. So over there, when it comes to Kiddush, yes, you're right. Without wine, there's not going to be Kiddush. And that's why wine comes before Kiddush. But over here, had it not been for a Shechianu, would there still be Sukkah? Sure, there would be a Sukkah. So in other words, there's not one without the other. They're not interdependent to one another. So therefore, I can easily separate myself from the Beis Hillel position regarding Kiddush. And once again, Rabbi Rechana says, don't pigeon me whole like Beis Hillel. I can even go like Beis Shammai. Yeah, the the day causes the wine to come. But over here, let's say I didn't have a sukkah. Let's say I was exempt from a sukkah. Remember, just a short week ago, we talked about a group of chachamim who, for whatever reason, they were exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. So are you going to make a shechianu? Sure you're going to make a shechianu. So once again, the argument of Beis Shammai by Kiddush is not going to apply to sukkah. Okay, so therefore, we try to take the machlokas between Rav and Rabbah and Rabbah and plug it into the machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, the Gemara says, don't do that. Tanan. And again, why is this issue coming up now? For the following reason. It's because look at the distribution. On Shavuos, so how do they distribute? First they would say, here's the matzah. Matzah is a reference to what? Lechem upon him. Then what would be get distributed? The shtei halechem. So here, what a perfect example of the lechem upon him. What is that? That's something which is ever constant. Always around. Lechem upon him is every week. And shtei halechem, unique. Specific to Shavuos. Which came first? The lechem upon him. Then followed by the shtei alechem of Shavuos. Now if I'll say to you, what's more important? Now that's an impossible question to answer. But if I said to you, what's more important? Meaning, what really screams out today? What screams out today is shtei alechem, Shavuos. If the Gemara refers to it as the ikar, the lechem upon him, it's tafel, it's secondary. Now we don't have the right to say that, but in the context of Shavuos, meaning it is secondary. Lechem upon him is the background. The shtei alechem is the primary carbon of the day. And the katani elech matzah ve'el chametz. And yet, what's the order? The order is lechem upon him, followed by the shtei alechem. So you go with tadir. So tiyufta de Rav. So the Gemara says that's a strong argument against Rav. Rav says that in the world of sukkah, first you make the bracha of sukkah, and then you make a shechianu. What do you mean? If we're following the same model, I'd first make the generic shechianu, and then afterwards I make the bracha specific to sukkah. Amal charav tanahi. So Rav says, look, that is a strong argument against me, but look, I happen to know the following. I'm going to quote another braisa, D'tanya. Helech matzah, helech chametz, Abishal Omar, helech chametz, helech matzah. This is exactly the machlokas between the tanayim. What should come first? Should the lechem upon him, the weekly generic lechem upon him, come first? Or should the shtei alechem, specific to Shavuos, should that come first? That's the machlokas. So Rav will tell you, look, my position accords with Abishal. Darsh, yeah. It's just a question. Both brachas are derabbanan. I mean, in other words, it's a bracha. Both of them are derabbanan. You're right. The shechianu. Okay, I guess you could say the bracha of sukkah is connected to the mitzvah d'oraisa, but the brachas themselves are both the rabbanan. Now it's just a question of, do I go with the generic or do I go with something that's specific to today? Okay, so darish Rav Nachman baruch hisaloki divrei Rav damar sukkah v'achar kach zman al zman v'achar kach sukkah. So Rav Nachman takes a position, not like Rav. Rav Sheshes b'reid Rav Idi amar sukkah v'achar kach zman. And then Rav Sheshes takes the position of sukkah followed by shechianu v'hilchasa, right? We can all fill in this blank. It's not a blank. The Gemara says sukkah v'achar kach zman. So the correct way to do it is to first say kiddush and then say a bracha of leishei b'sukkah, followed then by shechianu. What's open to a longer discussion, which I'm just going to reference, but I'm not going to discuss it now, is what do you do on night number two? In other words, on night number two, do you still stay with, here I'm talking about in Chutz Laaretz, do you still stay with sukkah followed by shechianu? Or do you flip it on night number two, shechianu followed by leishei b'sukkah? So you open up your machzorim and you're going to see inside. So right, some say you flip. Okay, so the some say you flip. So that's it's based on a comment by the Rush, happens to be right over here. But I'm just going to reference it and not for now. Mishmar shezmanu kavu ashar karbanat sibar. Now the mishmar happens to be working that week. So, first of all, they're getting really crowded in by all the other mishmars that are coming that week. And on top of that, what do they get for being the mishmar? So they get the regular karbanos that are specific to not yantiv, but just daily and weekly offering, except for the lechem upon him. If there's a parhelm davar shel tzibor, or if there's sira avodah zara, not going to explain right now what exactly they are, but if there's those, which are Karban Tzibur, so that's enjoyed by the Mishmar, not by the entirety of the Kohanim. V'rum Akrif HaZakol Asui Yimai L'Asui Ketz HaMizbeach. Offering everything, that's a reference to the Ketz HaMizbeach. Ketz HaMizbeach, you remember back in Shkalim, the last seven pushkas, that were, in the 13 pushkas, money was deposited in those pushkas, and those monies they would buy Olas Nedava, and they were offered year-round when there was nothing else going on. And so therefore, when the Mishnah says, V'hu Makrif Esakol, it's a reference to the Ketz HaMizbeach, these Olas Nedava. We begin the last Mishnah of the Masechta. Yom Tov HaSamach L'Shabbos, Bein Malfaneh, Bein L'Acharah, you call Mishmar Shabbos, Bechil Glechem upon him. Okay, let's say Sukkos ends on a Friday. Okay. So then what does that mean? It means that the next day is Shabbos. Now all the Kohanim converged on the Beis HaMikdash. You can't expect them to go home on Shabbos. That's unreasonable. Meaning Yom Tov ended, and the next thing that's happening is Shabbos. So therefore, what about the distribution of the Lechem upon him? All the Kohanim are going to get it. Even though that Shabbos is not Yom Tov. But at the same time, it's unreasonable to assume anyone can go home. Nobody could go home. So therefore, that Shabbos, even though that Shabbos is not Yom Tov, but because it's contiguous to Yom Tov, so therefore all the Kohanim are going to be entitled to the distribution of the Lechem upon him. Chalios echad lahafstik bein time, mishma shazman kavu, I know till Esther chalos, v'amet akiv no till shtayim. But let's say the following. Let's say Yom Tov ends on a Thursday. Okay, so they have one day travel day. Okay, Kohanim get lost. Okay, in other words, we love you, you did a great job here, but go home now, and you have Friday, you have a full travel day. So, it's understandable that not every Kohen can go home. Some Kohanim live far away. So some Kohanim are going to stay over Shabbos. So therefore, the allocation will go like this. There are 12 loaves, 10 will go to the weekly Mishmar, 2 will be given to the Kohanim who are lingering. Ushar Yimos Hashanah. Now in general, how does the distribution work? So Ushar Yimos Hashanah, HaNichnas Notel Sheish, VaYotze Notel Sheish. The Shabbos is the changing of the guard. Literally. Shabbos means that the Mishmar who worked the previous week now ends, and the new Mishmar is coming in. And the shift change is occurring on Shabbos itself. Right in the middle of Shabbos. In terms of the 12 loaves of bread, so the 6 who are leaving, sorry, the Mishmar that are leaving getting 6, and the Mishmar that are coming in are getting 6. Okay, so in other words, good. So now and next week, the Mishmar who just finished their week are going to get 6, and the Mishmar that are coming in are going to get 6. So every Mishmar ultimately is going to get 12 loaves of bread, and the way the Tanakhama sets it up, 6 coming in, 6 going out. Rabbi Yehuda Omer HaNichnas Notel Sheva VaYotze Notel Chamesh. Now Rabbi Yehuda has the week leaving getting 7, the week coming in getting 5. It's going to come out to be the same. Meaning when they leave next week, so the one who got 7 going in is going to get 5 going out, coming out. So it's going to be the same 12, it's just 7 on the front end, 5 on the back end. Now where do these mishmar sit and eat the lechem apanim? The lechem apanim is consumed by the kohanim in the azara. So those that are entering, meaning those that are starting the week, they're gonna eat in the north side of the Azara. Why north? Because north is where most of the karbanos are being offered. So therefore, to show that they're starting a week of work in the Beis HaMikdash. So they sit in the north, and the Kohanim who are exiting, they're going to sit in the south. Except for Bilgah. Bilgah la'olam cholakis bedarim v'tabasa kvua v'chalona sesuma. Bilgah. Who am I talking about? So if you look at the handy chart that I gave you, right, number 15. Mishmar number 15. So that's Bilgah. So she gets. She. You'll see why I say she. Okay. Bilgah divides always in the south, meaning even when she's starting the week, and her ring is locked in the Azara. There are 24 rings right to the north of the Mizbeach, each one corresponding to one of the Mishmaros. So wherever her ring is located, it's locked. It's not open. The rings, what the purpose is that the neck of the animal is placed into the ring. The ring locks, and And it's a way to shecht the karban. Bilga, the mishmar of Bilga, their ring is perpetually locked, so they didn't use it. And their locker is locked as well. Every mishmar had lockers in the base of Mikdash, so their locker was locked. Okay. Obviously, they got censored for reasons which we'll explain hopefully by the end of today. What does our Mishnah mean before and after? Meaning the Shabbos before the last day of Sukkot, you know what that's called? Sukkot. So Ela Lefanah Yom Tov Acharon LaAcharei Yom Tov Rishon. So the Gemara just simply spells out that what our Mishnah means is that the Shabbos following the last day of Sukkot or the Shabbos before the first day of Sukkot. So my time came to Hanim Mekdan Hanim Achri Tikna Rabban Milsa Gehecha Denech LaBahadei Adade. So the Gemara points out, look, they have to be here. So because they have to be here, so therefore they get a distribution of the lechem upon him. Chal Yom Echad V'Hani Tarti Maya Avida Tai. We're now on the top of Nun Vav Amud Beis. So I'm Rav Yitzchak Bischar Agafas Delasos. According to Rav Yehuda, why do the Mishmar who are entering get 7 loaves? Because they have extra work that they're going to need to do. Closing the gates that evening, which were opened up by the Mishmar Hayotzei, but now they're going to have to close it, so therefore, in exchange for the little extra work that they're going to do, they're going to get 2 extra loaves of bread. Amar, Yitzchak Biskar, Gavas, Delasas. Sorry. V'nemalei dal bedal. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Why can't we just have the following agreement? And it seems to be a very simple agreement. Look, I know that you have to clean up after us. We open the gates, you're going to have to close it. I get it. But why don't we just all agree? In other words, all the 24 Mishmars have the following agreement. Look, next week the same thing's going to happen anyway. So why don't we do the following? Why don't we take 6, you take 6? Meaning, yes, we understand. You're cleaning up you're finishing up our job. But why don't you just take 6 and you'll take 6 next week? And anyway, it's going to be a zero-sum game where we're going to, each Mishmar is ultimately going to get 12 loaves. Amar Abai, Butsina Tava Mikra. So the Gemara gives an expression, I'll say it in English, a bird in the hand is worth 2 in the bush. And the Gemara's basic expression is, look, if you're getting 7 now as opposed to 6, take the 7 now. In other words, the Gemara literally is, the small pumpkin is better than the large gourd. Meaning if you have a chance of taking the small pumpkin now, take it. Don't wait. In other words, yeah, you're forecasting, you're prognosticating, it's going to grow, it's going to be huge, take it now. So the Gemara says, if you have 7 to take now, so take the 7 now. Amar Rav Yehuda v'Musafim Cholkim. The Gemara now wants to know, how are we going to divide the Musaf? Remember, I told you, the change of the guard occurs in the middle of Shabbos. So the Tamishol Shachar is going to go to the Mishmar HaYotzei. That's the exiting Mishmar. The Mincha is going to go to the Mishmar HaNichnas, the entering Mishmar. Musaf occurs right in the middle of the day. How does that get divided? So Rav Yehuda is offering his opinion, gets equitably divided amongst both the Mishmar Yotzei and the Mishmar Nechnas. Maybe that position is seriously challenged. Mishmar Yotzei is also a Tamishol Shachar. Umusafim, the exiting Mishmar is going to offer the Tamishol Shachar and the Musaf. Mishmar HaNechneses Osa Tamishol Ben Arbayim. Now it does not say the Musaf gets equitably divided. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Brisa is not talking about division and allocation. Maybe the Brisa is just talking about who's responsible to do the avoda. The Gemara says, yeah, but I'll show you another Brisa. And the other brisa says Mishmar Yotzei also Tamishol Shachar Umusafim Mishmar HaNichneses also Tamishol Ben Arbaim Uvazichin Arba Kohanim Ayu Nichnasim Sham Shnayim Mishmar Zeh Ushnayim Mishmar Zeh V'Cholkim Lechem Apanim. And what does the brisa end off by saying? They divide the lechem apanim. Both groups, the one entering and the one exiting, V'Hilu B'Musafim Cholkim Lo Ketani. But meanwhile, by the Musaf, it does not say that. Sounds like the Mishmar HaYotzei, the exiting Mishmar, is the one who both offers a Musaf, is entitled to whatever benefits are from the Karban Musaf. So Tiyufta to Rav Yehuda, Tiyufta to the Gemara says, okay, that's a refutation of the position of Rav Yehuda. Good. The point that we made in the Mishnah, the Gemara spells it out. Those who are entering and are going to be serving this week, They get to eat in the north because the north represents we're doing the work this week because that's where most of the avodah is done. The mishmar that's exiting eat the lechem upon him in the south. Bilga la'olam chokin bedarma, and we finish today with Bilga. Tana Rabbanan Maisa b'Miriam bas Bilga. Now this is why I referred to Bilga earlier as her. It's not her. Bilga is the name of the mishmar, but rather Bilga. There was Miriam bas Bilga. Okay, so I told you every mishmar is named after the patriarch. So the grand patriarch of the mishmar Bilga is Bilga, and he had a daughter. And the daughter's name was Miriam, Sheimira Data, Vahachav Nasas Lasarduchot Achamimacha Yavanim. So she left the reservation and she married a Greek dignitary. Kishenichnasu Yavanim Laecha Haisa Mevaetas Besandala Agabe Mizbeach. So when the Greeks entered into the Mizbeach and defiled the Mizbeach, Va'amr Locus Locus and Matayata Mechal Mamonim Shay Yisrael. So she's kicking the Mizbeach. She refers to the Mizbeach as a wolf. Right, the word locust, Rashi explains, means a wolf. She refers to it as a wolf. You're consuming the money of the Jewish people, meaning all you're doing is just you're spending our money. Right, all of our money is going to Karbanos, and you're eating. In other words, she's yelling at the mizbeach. V'iata omid alem b'shas adchak. And meanwhile, what return do we get? Meaning here, the Greeks entering into the mizbeach, destroying the mizbeach, and meanwhile, she's yelling at the mizbeach. And of course, she's not yelling at the mizbeach. We understand. And she's saying, and you're not protecting us. And the Chachamim heard this, and the Chachamim said, okay. So the entire Mishmar gets censored. And obviously, a firm disapproval from the part of the Chachamim. And it's almost like a quasi-excommunication. The Gemara will ask in just a moment, that's one person, and you're punishing an entire Mishmar based on the behavior of one person. Okay, the Gemara will ask that question. And then the Gemara says another possible explanation. They never came on time. Okay? And they never came on time, and so therefore you come late. That's it. So, Afa Pishashchina Shashchina Risham Lo Nishtachru Shchina Bilga Nishtachru Shabilga Lolam Cholakas Bedarm Vishaviv Echav Bitsafa. Now, generally speaking, if you're a neighbor to a Rasha, so that you don't benefit, just the opposite. But it happens to be the neighbor of Bilga, meaning Mishmar number 14, Yeshevav, so they benefited. They always got to divide in the north. I totally understand that if they all came late, constantly and frequently. So in other words, you Kohanim, you're serving the Beis Hamikdash. You need to come on time. You're not coming on time. So I understand how the entire Mishmar gets censored and quasi excommunicated. But Elaman Damer Miriam Bas Bilga Shemira Data Mishum Barte Kansina Lididei. But the Gemara says, but let's go to the first explanation, where it was because of the actions of Miriam Bas Bilga. She's one person. Okay, so she left the reservation and she married a Greek and she acted highly inappropriately, totally disrespectfully to the Mizbech and to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But that's one person. And you're gonna punish an entire Mishmar based on the action of one person, Amar Abaye in. So Abaye's answer is really simple. Yep. That's correct. Kidarmi Inshi Shosa Shusa Dianuka Bishuka Odavu Odime. So the Gemara says, you hear something from a child, the child's not saying anything. The child is a parrot. The child's repeating what they hear at home. So you hear a child say something, they're not expressing their own viewpoint, their own position. All they're doing is expressing that which they hear in the house. So therefore, she's saying it, it's not she who's saying it. She's the parrot. It's the parents who are saying it. So she's really representing how the patriarch feels about the Beis HaMikdash in general. Okay. So, we'll stop. I know we have three more lines to go. We'll stop over here. We'll put the remaining Masechta on hold. And we will conclude at a separate time.